This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can we call him like Jor or Jordy or something?
Don't call Jordy. No, but Jor.
I hate that too. Actually,
yeah.
Johnny, we know if you listen to the show, you are driven. In fact, we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey.
We have hired a lot of team members over the last 17 years. Going through endless resumes, well, that's a time sink. But you know what else is a time sink? Interviewing endless people, because they're all going to give you the best face forward.
That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets.
Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/charm. Just go to Indeed.com/charm right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/charm. Terms and conditions apply.
Need to hire? You need Indeed. Over the last 17 years, we have launched our fair share of online courses, coaching programs, and finding the right platform has always been a challenge.
They say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. But if you're an entrepreneur, you know the hard work that comes with it. That's why you need Kajabi. Kajabi makes it easy to run your entire online business from one platform so you can focus on what you love, creating.
Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable recurring revenue.
No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and more.
The best part? Kajabi doesn't cut into your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. So keep 100% of what you earn.
And with Kajabi, you also get robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, all built in.
You don't even need a huge audience to make sustainable income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers.
Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/charm. That's kajabi.com/charm.
Go to kajabi.com/charm and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
Now onto the show.
This is The Art of Charm. Learn everything you need to know to crush it in business, love, and life. The Art of Charm is where ordinary guys become extraordinary men.
Welcome to The Art of Charm. I'm Jordan Harbinger. The Art of Charm brings together the best minds in the industry to teach you how to crush it in life, love, and at work. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors teaching you their expertise and packing decades of research, testing, and tough lessons into a concise curriculum. We want to empower you to create an amazing life for yourself by making tools available to everyone that were previously only known to high performers. We've created one of the premier lifestyle programs available anywhere, and it's free. This is the show we wish we had a decade ago. Make sure to stay up to date with everything going on here and get some great content and free products and books that we don't or can't share on the show by signing up for the newsletter at theartofcharm.com. This show is about you. We're here to help you become the best you can be in every area of your life. If you're new to the show but you want to know where to begin or find out more about what we teach here at the Art of Charm Live programs in LA, go to the website. We'll email you a starter kit of all the top shows here on The Art of Charm. We'll send you the fundamentals like body language, eye contact, vocal tonality, dating and attraction, business networking and negotiation, relationship management, public speaking, and more. Pretty much all the stuff we wish we'd learned and mastered years ago. We've got our live programs running every single week here in Los Angeles, California. In fact, we've got so many guys from all over the world, which shows that no matter where you are, you can make it here if you want to learn and grow. Details on those at theartofcharm.com/bootcamp. Give us a call or email me, jordan@theartofcharm.com. We read everything, and we're looking forward to meeting you here at The Art of Charm. Now, my friend Marnie of the Ask Women podcast, she's been coaching men for a long time. And this year, recently anyway, she had a baby. And we're going to talk about having children, how it's the hardest thing a marriage has to go through, and many marriages don't make it out alive. There's a lot of things going on with women during this time they may not be able to express. We're going to talk about pregnancy brain, mommy brain, why it's real, why it can hurt your relationship, why have kids in the first place, how to know when you're ready to have kids, how can having a baby ruin your relationship and how to keep ahead of that, and good communication habits for couples with little ones. So enjoy this one with my friend Marnie Kinreis. So, I mean, for me, when I think about having kids and stuff, and as this was probably for you, I'm like, oh, that's so far in the future. And now I'm kind of like, oh, it's still kind of a few years off or several years off because I'm not even married yet or whatever. But not that that has to come first. Let's be modern. But, you know, I don't think of all the little things. And I'm not naive. Like, I realize I got to change diapers and my whole life changes. But I'm sure this was the case for you. Everybody goes, your whole life's going to change. And you're like, yeah, I know. But then it totally does. And the impact is probably way more. Like, you think it's going to be like a little sock on the shoulder, but it's really like a body slam, right? I mean, it's got to be just so much more.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. It's funny because everyone says they don't tell you that it'll be like this. I'm like, people absolutely do. It's just, it's really hard to explain the complete difference of your life. It's not that your life changes. It's that your life that you had before is no longer your life. It's like you are in another body, and a body that is exhausted, is stressed, is going through all these hormonal shifts on a daily basis. And you're introducing this new person into your life who can't communicate and depends on you solely for their survival. Even me saying this, I'm like, I can't even put out in words what this transformation is when you're living through it. And, you know, I am a coach to tons of men and people, and I have most of the tools to use to reframe things and to see a brighter side of situations. But I'm still going through a tough time. It's very challenging. And in my head, I constantly have this cycle of, oh my God, I'm a horrible mom. I was just about to say it right now. I'm a horrible mom because I find myself swaying my friends who don't have kids to not have children. Where
no, you are. You're like, Jordan, don't do it.
Yeah. I'm like, don't do it unless you really want it. Like, even what you were saying before about, you know, I'm a little bit far off from it. I'm getting closer to it. But in my mind, you know, I always pictured myself having a family, having children. I wasn't 100% ready to have children, but my husband is, or was, 43.
His biological clock is ticking.
His biological clock was ticking, and it makes you race up a little bit more. I don't know if I ever would have gotten to the point where I'd be like, yes, I'm gung-ho about it. I totally want to have a child. I'm 100% ready. But at the time, I was not 100% ready.
Did you know that you weren't ready, though, at
yes.
the time? Okay, so
yes,
you knew
absolutely.
You weren't ready. You weren't like, I'm ready. And then the kid comes out and you're like, I'm not ready.
Right. And like, but there were certain moments where I was ready, where I would think it'd be great to have children with you. It'd be wonderful to have a family. And because he wants it so much, you know, it does speed the process up a little bit more. But for me, I've spent a lot of my life being anxious and being uncomfortable and not really living my life the way that I wanted to. And
we're Jews. It happens.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. I'm lucky that I even got a few years.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
not that I was just, but like I was really enjoying my life. I really enjoyed where I was in my career. I was on lots of television shows. I was getting a lot of clout. I liked my social life. I liked my freedom.
And now you don't have any of that.
Yeah, it's true. It's
all gone.
It is. It is all gone. And that will be rebuilt. But now it's funny because after I've had this child, it's like either I don't have enough energy to think about all of these other things that I could potentially grow again, or that I just don't really have a drive for them. It sort of leaves you in this place of confusion. And it's all of these new worries that are filling your brain space, and it leaves little time for you to relax and then think in a more positive direction, and then to think about growth and potential and passion and drive and growing something for yourself, either within your own relationship, your own friendships, or even your own business. Like a lot of the women that I'm friends with in LA, we've all had babies around the same time. And actually my sister had a baby about 6 months after me.
Always copying your style.
I know. Yeah, such a follower. But it is funny because all of these people are working mothers. And I honestly thought in my mind, we were very close with each other. We did a lot of social activities together. We all don't have family out here. We're going to be each other's support system.
Right.
And that did not happen at all because...
Why do you think that is?
Because, well, LA is very spread out, number one.
That's true.
But I don't want to use that as an excuse. But most of us work. So when the workday is done, the last thing that you want to do is go out with your friends because you've had about 15 minutes with your child and you are a horrible mom if you don't choose to go home with your child. And, you know, you're not thinking, oh, I'd rather go out for drinks. But sometimes you do think I'd rather go out for drinks. And that would be horrible if my child only saw me for half an hour today.
Mm.
And then on the weekends when, you know, usually that's your free time, like that's the time to have your full family time and to be involved in your child's life and for your child to get to know you again and see you for more than 15 minutes or an hour and a half, whatever it is. So we don't get to see each other as much anymore. And I've talked to all of them. It's not like they're getting together with other people and not telling us about
well,
it.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, maybe. Yeah,
you don't really know that. Yeah.
That's true. But they are doing everything that I just said. It's family time. We all travel too much. We work too much and we just want to stay at home and be with our babies. And granted, we're all in our first, you know, year or 2 years. And I have other friends who are a little bit further along, but that seems to be the consistent story. For my sister, who she lives in Canada, so they get a year off after they have a child, which is very nice.
That sounds like a long time. What do Americans get?
Like 3 months, if anything.
Wow.
And then people like us who own our own businesses don't get any time off. It's interesting because I had my baby Noah 7 weeks early. He was premature and I literally delivered. He was raced off to the NICU. I picked up my phone and started doing work within minutes. It was the oddest thing. I just remember thinking like, did I just have a baby? Like it was very strange. And
wow. You're like recovering with all your stretches and stuff, you're stretched out stuff, and you're like, I'm gonna hit some emails.
Like literally, I'm gonna gross you out for a second, but my OB came back in to like clean out the placenta, and I was on my phone.
You're like Instagram selfie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was weird. And then because he was in the NICU for the 3 weeks, I didn't have to take a break at all, and I didn't really allow myself that time to heal. And they're the reason that I wanted to talk to you, because there is this like unspoken pressure, and most of it comes from us internally.
Yourself, yeah.
To be an amazing mom, do everything, not be overly emotional, heal right away, get back into physical shape. And none of us really acknowledge how traumatic pregnancy and giving birth actually is on the human body, on a woman's body. And because we see other people and talk to other moms, there's always this, and it's not like a negative thing. It's just, there's this always this level of competitiveness, or, oh, she can do this, or she seems to be able to be doing this and I should be able to do it. Or, oh my God, her baby's sleeping after 3 months through the night. Oh, what's wrong with our child? Like your brain just gets so consumed with all of these other things for this child. And sometimes, again, I'm going to sound like a horrible mom, but sometimes I think to myself, I'm like, why do you matter more than me? But you do. And I want to do these things for you. I definitely want to do those things for my child, but I want to do things for me too. And there's such little time.
You feel guilt about that.
Yeah, it's constant guilt. And I actually, do you ever watch those interviews with Sam Jones? He's a photographer for, it's his magazine called Off Camera. You should actually have him on the show.
Oh, I was listening to that today.
Oh, that's so funny.
So random. Like
who,
an hour
whose interview
ago.
Were you listening to?
Robert Downey Jr.
Okay, I didn't see that one. But so he had Lizzie Kaplan on his show, and we've never watched the show, but randomly, because my husband happens to know Lizzie Kaplan, we're like, oh, let's watch Lizzie. And she gave this phenomenal interview. She was just very like open and real. And like, I was instantly drawn to her, number one. But she started talking about motherhood, and she is not even a mother. But she said, the one common story that she hears from mothers, and the same story that I hear, is that they feel like they're constantly disappointing everybody. And she said, I don't think that men have to grapple with that as much. And I don't want to take away from the male experience of introducing this brand new thing into, you know, your family space. It's equally as difficult on men, but I think there is a lot more guilt.
I don't know if it is. I mean, I can't speak from experience. I just can't imagine that men have to go through as much in most circumstances. Let's assume like family intact, et cetera, et cetera. But then again, I'm going to get email from dads that are like, bro, you don't even know. You have no idea.
But everybody sort of experiences in their own way. So for myself and my husband, right? We both work for ourselves. So, you know, we both are working, and that should be taken at a same level, right? We're both working, and then we have other responsibilities on top of it. But I don't have to work as much as he does, and he has to work more than the average person. Plus, he's a business owner.
Yeah, he's like not around a lot. He has to fly out and all this stuff.
Right. And so for me, especially when we didn't have a child, I already felt guilty because he was exhausted all the time. But when he came home, I wanted to go out and do things with him. But I was like, no, I want you to de-stress, relax, stay home. Like, gave him a day and a half or something to unplug a little bit. And then I wanted us to do things together because I had been setting that aside for the time that he was away and setting aside other things that I wanted to talk about or things that potentially could stress him out while he was away. But now that we have a child, it's even more because he's already exhausted. He's super stressed. He has the pressure of, you know, both of us have this providing for a family, but there's like a new level of pressure that gets placed on top of it once you have a child. And then he wants to spend time with his child, but then wants to give to me and then wants to give time for himself. So it's still this guilt. I feel horrible. I've had a lot of time with my child. I wake up in the mornings when he comes back on shoots rather than sharing it one for one. And there's a lot of things that I do to take the pressure off of him. And it feels horrible when I know how tired and stressed he is and that he's not taking time for himself to ask him to do something. And then it becomes this endless cycle of feeling guilty and then taking it out on the other person and just this emptiness that, like, when you're in a relationship, you've heard of the five love languages and they talk about your love bucket. I think that it's really hard to fill your own love bucket, let alone somebody else's, when you have no time, you're exhausted, and you're anxious because you're helping this person survive. And when it even comes out of my mouth, it just sounds so petty and dumb that I whine about this. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah, definitely.
Lennon and McCartney, Jagger and Richards, Watson and Crick, AJ and Johnny. What about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? Well, that's you and Shopify.
That's right, Johnny. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling your own fire merch or promoting your productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
What I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, as well as millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries.
Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. And AJ, you don't have to just sell your stuff anymore. With Shopify Collective, you can curate products to sell from the brands that you love, giving your customers more variety and your business more sales.
Shopify is your no-excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas, and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/charm. Go to shopify.com/charm now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/charm.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now, back to it. There's so many people listening that don't have kids and that do that are like, you should just feel lucky to have it. And you probably heard this in person. You should just feel lucky to have a baby. You know how many people would kill to be in your shoes. And you're whining about how tired you are, you know. But I'm sure there's tons of that. And problems are all relative, right? People go, oh, man, Jordan, your business is doing well. And I'm sure you've heard stuff like this. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm just so busy. And they're like, oh, I'm so busy. Got to go on the radio a whole bunch. Yeah, cry me a river, bro. I'm looking for a new job. And I'm like, I didn't mean it like that at all. But problems are relative, right? Like, if I wasn't busy with this, I'd be busy with something else. And when I have kids, I'm going to be like, man, I wish for my old life where all I had to do was work for 14 hours a day or whatever it is, right? But so your criticisms that you are giving or the guilt that you're feeling, I would say, it's not that well-founded. I mean, I get why you're feeling that way, but it's like saying I have too much money. Where am I going to put all these boxes full of $100 bills? It's still a problem. And when it comes to energy levels and balancing your relationship, it's a real problem because we've seen this, and you and I talked about this before the show. This type of thing can ruin, ironically, can ruin your marriage.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to speak to, because I know that there are guys and women listening. And as I'm going through this period of my life, I am realizing that this is where a lot of people lose their marriage, because they get so fixated on something else and they don't have time to give to the other person. And because their patience has disappeared a little bit, they react to one another. And I am a coach. I talk about dating and relationships all the time. So this definitely heavily affects me. And I have the tools to work on this with my husband, and it's still really hard. So I think that for a lot of people who don't have those tools, who are unable to communicate, this is where the tension begins and the animosity begins between significant others. I look at my parents and I understand now that I think this is where a lot of their problems started, and they did not have the communication tools or any tools that they could use to help resolve these issues or at least alleviate some of the tension so that they could get back to a loving place. And I remember we were in our first 3 months of having our son, and we had lots of family coming in, staying with us. It was nice. It was great. It was also a pain in the ass. And Jordan and I had very little time. That's my husband.
That's just so you know. Can we call him like Jor or Jordy or something?
Jordy.
I hate that too, actually.
Yeah. But Jor and I
better him than me.
Yeah. Had no time to exchange niceties with one another. It was literally just calling out things as the other person would pass by us. And when you're constantly being barked at, or there's tasks being thrown at you and no even sides of, oh, you're awesome, you're wonderful, I appreciate you, it just digs this deep hole of, oh my God, that person doesn't like me. They don't love me anymore, whether it's conscious or subconscious. That begins to build up, and this overlying thought on both sides of, oh my gosh, I'm a failure. Oh my God, I'm disappointing the other person, comes into place.
I can see this happening even in good relationships too. Because to be clear, your relationship with Jor was good before.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And it still is, obviously, I'm sure. Yeah. But it was good before. It's not like, oh, rocky relationship, having a child will torpedo it. You can have a great relationship because I can see this happening to myself, right? Because at some level, I need a reasonable amount in my mind of affection and like attention yeah. from my girlfriend. And so if we're married and then we have a kid and she's like constantly, look what I got for the baby. Look what I got for the baby. And I'm like, what am I, child labor? After like a year, right, of like being ignored or whatever, or feeling ignored, that could take a toll, even though the cause is totally, at a logical level, completely unreasonable. Like, thanks for taking such good care of our offspring, which is like the most important thing in the world, but I'm feeling petty because I didn't get a hug today, right? But I can see that stacking up over time.
Yeah, and all this animosity starts to build up, and there's things that you're like, oh, I shouldn't say this because my significant other is going through X, Y, and Z. So at about the 3-month mark when we started to notice this was happening, because during that 3 months, you're so tired. It's not even like you have time to notice there's problems in the relationship. You just hate the other. That's how it was. You just hate the other person. And then we had a big discussion. We had a bit of a blowout and had a big discussion about it. And what came out from that conversation was that we hadn't exchanged niceties. Like, that had gone over both of our heads. We were just like in frantic mode and just not putting out fires, because it sounds like, you know, this kid was causing us problems. He was sleeping great. He was eating great. It didn't have any problems. It just is this constant 3-hour cycle that we were going through in the very beginning that never seemed to end. It was like living Groundhog Day every day. It kind of drives you a little bit crazy. And after that conversation, I said to him, this is what I need from you. I need you to take care of me and my emotions and really support me. And I can take care of our son and support him. But if I'm not being taken care of, I'm going to be a misery. And being taken care of does not mean being babied. It means telling me that I am doing a good job in making the decisions that I'm making as a mom, appreciating me for doing things that I've never done before that you may seem to think that I know how to do because I'm a woman, but I have no freaking clue and I'm just as scared as you are. Giving me a hug at the end of the day, and I can give back when I am receiving those things. But when you're being like literally sucked dry by a child and you're not getting support and love from your partner, it's really difficult to keep going.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You know, and Jor asked for the same thing, and it is difficult to do. But I was listening to the podcast that you did with, I'm totally going to mess up his name, I think it's Harvey Hervell.
Harville Hendricks.
Harville Hendricks, yeah. And he was talking about the third thing that he does with his significant other and tells people to do, to say why you're grateful every single day to the other person, to hear 5 positives from your partner about what you bring to their life or what they appreciate you for. And, you know, we don't do it every single night. I'm not a saint, but we try to do it as often as possible. And we try to give each other hugs as often as possible. And it still becomes challenging when you're very tired, but it definitely helps. And having an open line of communication and being comfortable enough to say the things that are on my mind, that's what has really helped me. And being supportive of the choices that we are together making, but that I'm making as a mother for my child, of right. things that involve me, like breastfeeding or certain things that, you know, he's out in his office most of the day and doesn't get to see a lot of the stuff
right.
that we are doing, and really just respecting that. Like, I wanted to do some research before you and I spoke, and I'm the type of person who likes to do research constantly. And if I'm going through something, I want to talk to other people about it. So since I've had a baby, I've been asking questions. And most of the women I talk to, they have a lot of the similar concerns or struggles or challenges. But I talked to my mom about this, and she had said that.
How did that go?
Well, I'm very open with my mom, but I had said to her, like, you know, I'm going on a show where I want to help men understand what women go through and give them suggestions of what they can do to help during that process, so the animosity doesn't build up and there isn't tension in the relationship and people are left feeling unloved. And she had said one thing that really bothered her, that you know, has carried through till now with my father, and they've been married for 40-something years. She said that he would come home from work, and it was wonderful. He would take me and he would go play with me, but I would be crying and sitting on his lap. And for him, he hadn't been hearing crying all day, so it wasn't a big deal.
Oh, right. He just was like, ah, oh, she's crying, whatever.
Yeah, and but my mom, she knew exactly how to get me to stop crying. And she would say, Jerry, just stand up and she'll stop crying. And he wouldn't stand up. He wouldn't stand up because he wanted to sit down. And she had heard the crying all day. So for her, it was like Chinese water torture. you know, like it was great that he took her, but she wanted that relief for half an hour. And he would help, but he wasn't able to give it to her. And it left her feeling...
Classic man.
Yeah, it left her feeling unheard and unsupported, even though in his mind, he was doing his part as well. And I talked to my sister about this because she's had a baby, and I talked to my friends about this, and they all said it's just because there is a lot more put on to the women, unless there's, you know, homes where things are set up a little bit differently. But it really is just their significant other being more supportive of the fact that you are there all day and you have seen patterns that work and things that you can do to help alleviate a situation, to not question in the moment or scowl at a request, really just being supportive. And that's not saying, you know, I hate when I tell people what I do for a living, and a lot of men will say, oh, I know the secret to giving women what they want. It's just saying yes to everything.
Right. Buy,
yes,
her, buy her everything she wants. Yeah, there's always some crap
like, advice. That's the most, that is the worst advice.
Oh, you're divorced three times. Oh, big surprise there, Uncle Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's not that you just have to say, okay, yes, dear, I'll do whatever you want. It's okay. It's respecting that in the moment. And if you want to have a conversation because you've read an article about other ways to do something, sit down and have that conversation later at dinner and say, you know what?
Right. Not in like the emotional battlefield of when like the whole thing's going down. Maybe like save it for a more opportune time.
Yeah. Like, for example, my husband and I put our son down for a nap, and I know his sleep cycles of when he is more responsive to noise. And his bedroom is like close off to where the main room is, so which sucks. He has a sound machine on, but he can hear noise more easily. And my husband will come out of the bedroom in the morning after I put my son down for his nap, and he'll say, can I make a coffee? And I'll be like, you know, I just put him down for... No, I've said this a million times, and like, and I have to say no. He used to scowl at me, and I'd be like, oh, it would break my heart. Like, I didn't like having to be the bad guy and say no. And it really created tension between us. And I would get really frustrated with him because it just felt like he wasn't in it with me.
Right. It's like your baby's inconvenient to me.
Yeah. And that's not at all where he was, or not at all where he is coming from. But it's like smaller things like that where together you can devise a plan. So I wanted to offer a tip to some people who, if you're not in a relationship, if you are in a relationship, if you're married, if you have kids, this has been really helpful for Jordan and I, for helping everything run a little bit smoother in our household. Because now listen, it's still free and fun, and we do fun things. We have an amazing time with our son and with each other. We have date night every week. There's lots of happiness in our household. But to help our household run smoother now, we have a weekly meeting every Monday. I create an agenda. I send it over to Jor halfway during the day. He can look at it or not look at it. And that night at dinner, we go through the agenda of things to talk about. And it can be like really boring things like what our dinner plans are for that week, who's going to cook, who's not going to cook, who's things like that. Or we can put on the agenda, let's talk about our sex life, or let's talk about making coffee in the morning. And when we can come together in a calm state and where something is written out on a list, it just makes for a calmer, nicer conversation. And then people, like both of us, are left being accountable for something, right? So if he says, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z this week because I've said it at the weekly meeting, then it's on him to do, and he knows that's his responsibility to do. And if it's left undone,
then what happens?
Well, then then he gets kicked out of the house. But no, yeah, but then it's like he has to take ownership of it instead of me nagging him every single day. So we give like timelines for things. So now he'll come to me and say, listen, like my week got a little bit more hectic. I'm not going to be able to finish this by Wednesday. So that there is like more accountability, and it is kind of run more like a business, you know, but businesses can still be fun. It's just that everybody gets a chance
to feel heard. And yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we can have open discussions. And listen, all of the exhaustion doesn't go away, and there's still moments of impatience and frustration for sure. But it really helps to alleviate things so that you don't get to this point where you're never having a break from all of the tension, and you just grow to dislike each other, because that is sadly what happens with a lot of couples during this period of time. I have friends who, you know, were close to divorcing in the first 5 or 6 months, and they are people who do not have tools to have open communication. One of the people don't ever share anything with the other person in the relationship. Yeah. So they have to go to therapy and learn about how to communicate and talk about their emotions and frustrations. And, you know, luckily they did that, but so many people don't. They're either too embarrassed or they don't have the resources. It's not a good environment for anybody to be in, whether it's for the child to be in or for you to be in. It's just, it's not enjoyable. And because this is a complete shift and a life change, that is, to be honest, absolutely fantastic. I enjoy being challenged, and this is the biggest challenge I've ever had in my life. You know, not working on things and finding tools during this period of time can be detrimental to your relationship, can be detrimental to your children's upbringing, can be detrimental to your own sane psyche. So that if you have all of these things weighing you down, sometimes you don't really get to enjoy the wonderful moments, like those peaks that I was talking to you about, that I have every single day. Like my son, he makes this face now where it's like he goes, oh, and he like puts his mouth into this small O, and honestly, it melts your heart every time. It is the funniest, coolest thing in the world watching him become a human being. And that I understand is why people keep doing this and keep having children, because that feels awesome to see. And if it's only for, you know, a couple of hours a day, and the rest of the day you're a little stressed out about things, it does make it worth it. And so I get why people
yeah, I was gonna say, what children. Are the plus sides? All right, back to the show. It sounds like this year has been about learning, balancing, communicating a ton.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's a lot here that's going on with both men and women during this time that they probably can't or might not be able to express. But would you say this is the hardest thing that your marriage has ever gone through?
Oh, absolutely. And we went through me being pregnant, buying a house, having our child in the NICU when he came early, moving to a house. Like last year, I thought was the hardest thing. But then this year after it, that's what we did all last year. But then, yes, this has been the hardest thing that our relationship has been through. And we've been together for 11 years now.
Right. So it's not like, it's not a 3-year long relationship where you had the honeymoon phase, got married, had a kid, right? It's been a while.
Yeah. And so I want to give advice to guys that are listening. I want to call attention to, this may not be for every woman because I can't speak for every woman, but the women that I have talked to who feel like a certain part of their appeal and sexiness and their womanhood has gone away, even though you kind of become a little bit more of a woman after you have a child. But it's this strange transition for women as well, that you go from independent woman, assertive woman, to the role of mom. And depending on how you look at the role of mom, you know, it's different for everyone. For me, I'm having challenges with trying to balance being a mom, being a business owner, and being a sexy, attractive woman. And to be honest, I haven't really found that balance yet. I have moments of it for sure, but that's been the hardest transition I think it's that you're transitioning into a totally new person that goes hand in hand with this whole new lifestyle. But there's, this is going to sound so morbid, but like there's this, oh, now I'm a mom. So now I'm the next in line to die. Or like,
what?
It's like, that's what I think. I'm like, oh, well, now my parents are grandparents. And like, it's just this, like, I am now at a different level.
Right. You can't lie to yourself. Like, I'm still a kid.
Yeah.
I'm still the young one because there's somebody else on the totem pole.
Yeah, the bastard is younger than me now. So yeah.
Right. And always will be.
Yes, exactly. I know. I'm like, but these are the thoughts that are going through my mind. Yeah. It's a really interesting, sad, happy, amazing time. And all that I know that I require during this time is the freedom to be emotional without being labeled as irrational, some time to be heard, and a lot of time to be hugged. That's really all that I require during this time.
Yeah, you hear a lot, speaking of emotional and irrationality, you hear a lot about like mommy brain, pregnancy brain. What is that?
Okay, so I actually did some research on this because I wanted to speak to mommy brain and baby brain. And basically, everything that I found was saying there's no proven evidence that this exists. But a lot of women struggle with hormone fluctuations, and depending on where their hormone levels were at and their depression levels were at prior to being pregnant and prior to having a child, it can affect them in multiple different ways. I will say this, they are absolutely 100% real. You know, I don't know if it's the hormones, the tiredness, whatever it is, but I go on Loveline quite often. And, you know, when we weren't on the radio, I had said to Drew, because I did a segment on the show, or Dr. Drew, and I was like, oh my God, did that even make sense? Like, I don't even know what just came out of my mouth. This is like 4 months after I had my son. And I said to Drew, I was like, is this pregnancy brain and mommy brain like a real thing? Like, I honestly, words do not come together the same way that they used to. And he said, absolutely. If you are breastfeeding, especially, like, you are not going to feel back to normal until you stop breastfeeding. There is hormone shifts going on in your body that is not even comparable to your menstrual cycle. Like, it's 10 times what it was before. So he is saying that absolutely those things are true and they do have an effect on people, and differently for every single woman. Cause I know some women who are like, yeah, I don't notice anything. And I know other women who are like, I am messed up since having a child. So, right. And I fall into the middle of that category.
Wow. So yeah, those are real hormonal issues that happen that go away only after you stop breastfeeding. Is that the?
Apparently. So listen, I'm not a scientist or an expert in this field, but
we're only talking about your boobs and hormones.
Right, my boobs right now. I know that at different stages of my son's life, my body produces different kinds of milk that have different nutrients that my son needs for that time. And that every time that I breastfeed, potentially there is a release of oxytocin that connects me further to my son. It's supposed to, I don't feel it, but supposed to give you like a little rush of, you know, an oxytocin increase. So absolutely there are constant hormones going up and down and up and down and left and right all the time when you have a child. And I think especially if you're breastfeeding, but again, not a scientist, so I don't know 100% what is going on. But for me, I feel it. I know it. I'm also coupling that with, you know, being tired and adjusting to this new life change.
Before the show, we were talking about how babies and women are not always a match made in heaven. Let's speak to that, because I feel like a lot of women feel like they have to have kids. They're somehow a failure. Like right now, there's people listening that are like, this is interesting, but now I'm feeling the same guilt that you're feeling of the mommy stuff, only I don't plan on having kids. Can you speak to that at all? I mean, you have kids, but you obviously at one point didn't.
There's always pressures to live up to the social norm, but it doesn't mean you have to give into it. And even when, you know, on my podcast, my co-host Kristen, there's some guys that come on the show. I think maybe she hasn't said this about you or to you, but there's certain guys who come onto the show and they'll say, like, I want to date a lot of girls and I don't want to be in a relationship. And she has trouble computing that, because ultimately everybody should want to be in relationships. That's why you date a whole bunch of girls. Something's wrong with you if you just want to have fun experiences with really open people and have great sex. And like, in her mind, there is something wrong with you if you don't want what everybody else seems to want. I don't believe that. I think that's freaking awesome. If you want to go and have like amazing experiences with tons of other women, as long as you are not misleading, mistreating, or being dishonest with people, have a blast and continue doing it till the day you die. I think the same thing with having children. It's now a trend. Like, there are many people who are not having children right now. Many people who are not getting married because they think it kind of ruins your life. Like, there was a special on Vice and they were talking to people in Japan and they would interview these men and women who were like, why would I want a boyfriend? That is not fun. Like, why would I want somebody else to be with? I'm having an amazing time. I think that you have to decide if you're going to let other social norms pressure you or not. When I'm saying that, I'm speaking to myself because I'm going through that now. When I talk to other moms and they're like, oh, you know, Joel's doing this week. He learned how to, you know, say ABC and he's 3 months old. Like, for you and your mind, you start thinking, oh my God, like, I better start showing my kid cue cards. Like, right. This kid's doing it. So
how do you deal with that pressure? Because I feel like that never stops, right? There's all this, oh, my kid learned to talk. Oh, my kid is a better, you know, he's running. Oh, look at this. And oh, we're getting him into this school. And my parents had him on the waiting list 20 years ago.
And right. Like, he's going to Harvard and he's only like 8 months old.
Right. Okay, like, our kids are going to go to jail. That's all there is because we haven't prepared for this. Obviously, we're failures.
Yeah. And Jor and I talk about this all the time. Like, we are providing the most loving environment for him. We do our best to teach him the things that we know and show him a good time and show him structure, but show him freedom and fun. And if somebody else is walking 3 months ahead of him, I'm not going to get wrapped up in that because like my kid's going to walk. Like, it's not like,
yeah, eventually it'll happen. Most likely.
It's not like he's not going to walk. Oh, he's not eating that. He'll eventually eat that or something else. Like, I had to wrap my brain around, like, it's those things aren't really that big a deal. And I even find myself being very, and I watch other moms do it, being very careful of how they say things that they are doing because they don't want to put that out there that my kid's doing this or my kid, or at least my friends do this. I know there are other people who do that, but we're all very careful about offering advice that has worked for us or, you know, bragging a little bit too much because it's kind of pointless.
It's obnoxious. And then you get it from somebody else like, oh, your son's having this problem and there's a little schadenfreude there. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was always quiet. It took me a long time to talk. It took me a little bit longer to walk. Then I, you know, was kind of screwing up as a kid. I was a little bit bad. And there were people in my family that were like, oh, well, Jeffrey, like my cousin, Jeffrey is this way. And I'm like, oh, this is for our other cousin that. And I could tell, like, looking back, my mom and dad must have been like, damn it. What the hell? And
now, we got the lemon.
Well, yeah, but now, of course, my parents are like, yeah, no, Jordan's doing really well. You know,
he's got
a really, really big company. Maybe you saw it in the freaking New York Times, biatch, or something, you know. And, yeah. Oh, how's being, you know, a public school teacher? Like, but like, my mom did that, so that's a bad example. But they're kind of like, after all those years of, like, that getting rubbed in their faces, now they're just kind of like, they don't have to say anything because everyone's like, right. Oh, it sounds like Jordan's doing really well. It's because right. Facebook does it all now. Facebook does everything for them.
Yeah, exactly. They don't need to brag anymore. They can do it for them. Like, even if you didn't become, like, you know, super successful, which you are, you still would have been a good person, I think. Like,
Maybe.
But, like, at the end of the day, you're going to walk. You're going to learn to speak. If you don't, then you deal with those issues and there's something else amazing for you. Like, you and I share a common friend, Sean Stevenson, okay? Mm-hmm. And he, for people who don't know, he's a motivational speaker. He's full of confidence, you know, at times. But he is a motivational speaker. And he also happens to be 3 feet tall in a wheelchair with brittle bone disease. Like, even though he was born with these supposed challenges, and I'm sure his parents could have freaked out and been ashamed or constantly beat themselves over this, they actually went in the other direction to tell him, like, you're freaking amazing and who cares if you have X, Y, and Z, and pushed him towards this greatness so that now he has and had the confidence to understand then that he's more than X, Y, and Z. He can do greater things. And that's what I want to focus in to instill in my son, is that the door is open. Like, there's potential for everything, and let's just play around and see what you got. And we'll work with that. That's how I want to treat myself. That's how I like to treat others and find out what's really special about them, not what's special about them compared to everybody else.
Well, thank you very much. This has been really insightful and has instilled in us a little bit of a different angle. Cause there's a lot of people listening that are like, wait, what was that? Cause they're not looking for this normally from The Art of Charm, but I think this is really poignant because, you know, this is something that almost everybody listening has either gone through, will go through, or is going through right now. And the other ones that don't, well, you're welcome for this little window into how the other people who are dumb enough to have kids live, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
So thanks so much.
So conclusion is don't have children.
Right. Conclusion is you better want real bad. That little cute little face he made, just keep that burned into your mind while you're changing dirty diapers at 3 o'clock
in the morning. I'll send you a picture of my kid. You can just look at that whenever you want to have children.
That works. Thanks so much, Marnie.
Thank you.
Interesting. Really interesting that having kids is one of the toughest things a marriage has to go through. I totally get how having a baby can just annihilate intimacy and annihilate communication inside a relationship. Women go through so much, so I think it's great to have this skill set to help our ladies get through this period of time and help ourselves get through this period of time. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. I really enjoyed recording this. I got lots to look forward to, and maybe this is episode one of many parenting relationships to come in the future anyway. Now remember, guys and girls, this show is a fanarchy. It's run by you. We rely on you to help keep our finger on the pulse. So if you know someone is a good fit for the show, let me know. I'm Jordan at theartofcharm.com. If you enjoyed this one, don't forget to thank Marnie on Twitter. We'll have that linked in the show notes as well. And I post a lot on Twitter, stuff that never makes it to the show, articles, insights, and other crap. I'm at theartofcharm on Twitter. Details on our live programs at theartofcharm.com/bootcamp. And of course, on the website, not only is there the blog with tons of amazing articles, but our bonus episodes that aren't released in the iTunes feed for those of you who just can't get enough AOC. And remember to subscribe in iTunes or check us out on our network, Podcast One. Of course, we have our iPhone and Android apps available as well. Just search for The Art of Charm, and you guys can help us. Subscribe in iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, write something nice, I'll love you forever. When you write us a review, it not only makes us feel proud, but it helps keep us in the ranks so that other people who can use this information can find the show more easily and get the credible advice they need. It's also one of the best ways to support us other than purchasing products and training from The Art of Charm. Now, special thanks to the Jasons for their help in production of this podcast. Go ahead and tell your friends, because the greatest compliment you can give us is a referral to someone else, either in person or shared on the web. Now, have a great week and leave everything and everyone better than you found them.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Charm. Get more confidence, relationship skills, life hacks, and everything for the extraordinary man at theartofcharmpodcast.com.